Psalm 23. This great psalm, which is often quoted at funerals, and the reason is because of the comforting, encouraging nature of this psalm. It is one of the most often quoted portions of God's word because it meets people's needs. It brings encouragement and faith and strength. It's a psalm of David, who had a heart for God. A man who, when he was a boy, was a shepherd boy and understood very keenly the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And God used his background and his understanding of shepherding to write this psalm about the Lord, who is our shepherd. Notice what he says in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That is, Jehovah is the one who is shepherding me. I shall not want, which means I will not lack. I will not come up short. I will not be missing anything that I need for life and for godliness and for eternity. He says in verse 2, and he gives us examples now of areas in which God's sheep do not want, do not lack. We do not lack God's guidance, God's direction. Notice what he says in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We keep finding the concept of God leading us, guiding us, directing us. We, as God's people, will never lack direction because God leads his dear children along. Aren't you glad that God is sovereign and that God has a will and a plan for our life and God directs his sheep? He just doesn't let us wander. He just doesn't allow us to go our own way, even though prior to salvation, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus died to pay for the straying of us people. But Jesus is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd. And he says, I guide my sheep. I lead them. I cause them to lie down in green pastures where they can graze on and be nourished and well fed, taken care of. He leads us beside those calm, still waters where we find refreshment. And Jesus is that living water. He is that refreshing pool, that wonderful spring. And if your soul is troubled and there's a thirst that nothing has satisfied, come to the Lord Jesus, for he will satisfy your spiritual thirst and he will satisfy it for the rest of your life. He leads his sheep beside the still waters. When our souls are troubled, we experience turmoil. We have conflict and difficulty and trials and persecutions, troubles of all sorts. He restoreth my soul. He brings our souls back to that state of calmness and peace in the midst of toil and trouble. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, for his own reputation's sake. Yes, he loves us, but everything God does, he does for his glory, for his reputation, for his name. And he leads us in the path that is right, the path of righteousness, the path of justice, the path of truth. Ever since I became saved, God led me in the path of righteousness. I wish I always followed that path. but God has been guiding me in the paths of righteousness, just like he leads every one of his sheep. He shows you what is right. He allows you to have a Bible, to come to a Bible preaching church, to learn about what's right. He has been leading you ever since you came to know him as Savior. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake, that he would be glorified and honored. You see, my friend, we saw last time that God leads his sheep. God gives guidance and direction because he's a good shepherd and he's our shepherd. But today we want to focus on another facet of our shepherd's work in our life. Not only do the sheep never lack for direction, but we shall not want for safety, for security, for protection. Why? Because our shepherd protects his sheep. He is our protection. He is our security. Notice the word of God in verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Aren't you glad that God, our shepherd, is with his sheep? You say he's got a lot of sheep. Yes, but God is omnipresent. God is with every one of his sheep, and there is not a single sheep that he's not with. He is with us no matter where we are. As Psalm 139 says, where can I go from his presence? Where can I flee from the presence of God? No matter where we go, God is there. It's a real encouragement to me to know that throughout my life, the presence of God is with me. God is with his sheep. He doesn't let them drift and walk all alone, all by themselves. He accompanies us. And it's interesting that he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If the shepherd is with us, will he allow us to walk through such valleys? If he's really with us, will we have those times that seem so dark and dangerous and difficult? Implied in the statement, yea, though I walk, is the fact that sometimes the sheep do face difficult situations and difficult circumstances. And it's not that our shepherd is unconcerned about his sheep. Yea, it's necessary that God leads us to greener pastures. You think about a shepherd in Israel, where right after April and May pass, the green grass begins to dry up, burn away with the hot summer sun in Israel. And as that grass disappears, the shepherd now has to lead his sheep to other pastures. And by doing this, he will often have to lead them through the ravines and the deep, dark places where dangers lurk. But it's for the well-being of the sheep. I think also when the seasons transition into winter, the shepherd has to lead his sheep now back to the shepherd's caves, where they will be protected in the cold months. And so again, a shepherd would be leading his sheep for the sheep's well-being. And that migration often leads the sheep through the dark and dangerous valleys. Every mountain does have its valleys. Sometimes a shepherd will guide his sheep into the valley because it's in the valley where they're going to find their shade, their food. That's where the water will be. As Christians, we will sooner or later discover that it is in the valleys of our lives that we are forced to get close to our shepherd. And I believe that's one reason why God allows it. You see, God will allow you as his child to face those dark valleys so that you draw closer to him. Sometimes when we are secure in our situations and circumstances, we feel no need for God. The bills are paid. Life is easy. No difficulty, no trials. Everybody's healthy. That we don't draw close to God. But God will often allow difficulty in our life to get us to the point where we come back to him. And I believe that oftentimes it is those valleys in our life that bring us closer to God than ever before, because that's when we really need the Lord. I think of those who recently passed on, Iris Perrin and now Mike Alexander. There's going to be some people going through those dark, difficult valleys at this time, the valley of the shadow of death. But it's at this time that they can realize God will be with them if they seek him. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil." And the reason is simple. For thou art with me. God is with us. I believe that not only does God accompany us during those times so as to protect us and help us emotionally and physically and spiritually, but God is with us at those dark times so that we can comfort somebody else with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. For you could share, you know, I understand what you're going through. I too went through a dark valley like that, and this is what God told me. This is what God taught me. This is what God did in my life, and my friend, he can do it for you as well. He says, the sheep will often walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death's darkness. You know, we all go through the deep, dark valleys, but I think in New York, sometimes we go through those deep, dark alleys. When you're afraid, remember this verse. Thou art with me. In the land of Israel, if you've been there, you know, perhaps you're familiar with the Wadi Kelt. Remember driving up that ravine from Jericho to Jerusalem? You pass an area called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, which is on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, heading down to the Dead Sea area. Jesus described a man traveling that way from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among the thieves. Remember? And they beat him, leaving him half dead. But then the Good Samaritan came and dressed his wounds and helped him. There were times, no doubt many times, when people passing down that Wadi Kelt fell among thieves and trouble and bandits and wolves, or in ancient days, lions, cougars, coyotes. All kinds of animals would be lurking there as some would wander into the valley of the shadow of death. The possibility of being suddenly attacked always existed in those dark, tight areas where those wild beasts lurked. David, who was a shepherd, no doubt led his sheep into these valleys and into areas where there was trouble, the potential for trouble, like the time that he had to rescue his sheep from the lion. It was a male lion. The reason I know is because David says he grabbed him by his beard, by his hair, and he killed the lion. with the power of God. He killed the bear that sought to attack his sheep with his very own hands. Amazing. The courage that this young man had. And as he writes here, he says, you know who the real protector is? The Lord Jehovah God. He is our protector. God's companionship is not conditioned by the nature of the road. He's with us during the smooth times and through the difficult times. And he wants to show his presence all the more in those rough situations. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Reason simple. You are with me. God wants to show his presence in your life. You're never alone if you have Jesus Christ. The Lord is with his sheep, as he said to Isaac, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee. He was with Isaac. He was with Jacob, as he says in Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. He said, I'll keep my word. I'll keep my promise. As I was with Abraham, and with Isaac, I will be with you. He said to Israel through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 5, fear not. For I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And God makes that promise to Israel. He says through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet who would face people that were ungodly and wanted to kill him because of his message. Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 1:19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. In chapter 30, verse 11, he says, through Jeremiah, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. And so God says to Israel, Israel, I will be with you. He said to the Apostle Paul, remember when Paul went into the area of Greece and was afraid when he came to cities like Athens and Corinth with its abundance of paganism? Paul was afraid at that moment in Acts 18:10, and God says to him, Paul, you don't need to be afraid. Why? For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. In the Great Commission, where Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he says these words, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, if God is with you, who can be against you? What do we need to fear if God is with us? Do we need to fear anything? No. We don't need to fear anything. But oftentimes we are afraid because finances are tight. How am I going to get my bills paid? And oftentimes people, due to insecurities in their life, will tend to worry over finances and will tend to acquire as much as possible and stock up as much as possible and even become covetous because their security is not in God, but it's in their money that they have stored under their mattress. But you know what God says in Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation or your lifestyle, your character, your conduct be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. In other words, be satisfied with what God has given you. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We need to trust the giver more than the gifts. We need to trust the supplier more than the supply. We need to trust the provider more than the provision. For he said, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you. And we often quote the end of that and take it out of its context. It's in a financial context where God says, don't be covetous. Be content with what you have, because he says, I'll be with you. And if I'm with you, what do you lack? Our security is in God. Our provider will never leave us. He's not here today and gone tomorrow like a lot of dads. Abandon their wives and abandon their children. Divorce their wives. God says, I'm not that way. He said, I'll be with you. You don't need to fear. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is our helper. He comes to our rescue in times of need. Saying the Lord is my helper is like saying he's my provider, my guide, my protector, my preserver, my job security, my mortgage payer. He is my bank account. He says, I don't need to fear because God's presence will be there. So what are you facing? You facing those dark valleys? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And so the presence of God is with us. Not only did his presence bring comfort, but our shepherd has a couple of tools in his hand that bring security to the sheep. Do you see what he says here in verse 4? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How would a rod and a staff comfort the sheep? Well, you need to understand a little something about the rod and the staff. Each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, takes special pride in the selection of a rod and staff exactly suited to his own size and strength. As Keller writes in his book, as a shepherd, who was a shepherd, he says he goes to the bush and selects a young sapling, which is dug from the ground. This is carved and whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joins the roots, is shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hard wood. The sapling itself is shaped to exactly fit the owner's hand. After he completes it, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with his club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes his main weapon of defense for both himself and his sheep. In the Bible, shepherds had a rod for at least three purposes. First purpose was for a defensive weapon. A rod would be like a club, as I said, that would have a handle on it, and it would be a club that could be thrown, a club that could be used to beat off a wild animal that would attack the sheep. A club was a weapon of defense. And a skilled shepherd would use his rod to drive off predators like coyotes and wolves and cougars or stray dogs. Also, the club would be used to beat the brush, discouraging snakes and other creatures from disturbing the flock. And I think in some cases like that with David had his rod. Perhaps he had that in hand when he dealt with the lion and the bear. As he grabbed those animals and bang, clubbed them to death as they tried devouring his sheep. Do you know the Lord Jesus will also come back one day and he will destroy his enemies with a rod of iron? For he will rule and reign, Psalm 2 verse 9 says, with a rod of iron at his second coming. Aren't you glad that we have a God who protects his sheep? God defended Israel from the pursuing Egyptian army at the Red Sea. God defended Sarah from Abimelech, king of Gerar. God defended Moses from the rebellion of Korah. God defended Esther, Mordecai, and all of Israel from Haman and his wicked plot to destroy them. God defended Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace from Nebuchadnezzar. God defended Daniel from the lion's den of Medo-Persia. God defended Paul while he was in the Philippian jail cell. And on we could go to describe examples where God protects his people. Do you know, my friend, we're not leaving this earth till God's done with us. God, if he has a job for you, all the world could be lined up against you. But you're going to stand because God's going to club off all those enemies. And he's going to keep you around as long as he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And Jesus said to the Apostle John, John, you don't need to be afraid. It is I. Behold, I was dead and I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and of hell. He said, John, you don't need to be afraid of dying. I've got the keys to death. You see, my friend, if God has a plan for your life on this earth, he's going to be there to protect you all the way through. And he's going to club off the wolves that attack you with his weapon of choice, his rod. The rod was not only a defensive weapon used as a club would be used, but it was also a tool for discipline. Scripture describes how the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, certainly there would be a rod that would be more of a billy club type, and then there would be the rod that would be more of a slender stick used for chastening. You know, God does discipline his sheep. God does spank his children. The scripture says, my son, be not weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or disciplines, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. And God will often have to use his rod to get our attention and to bring us to a point of obedience when we are walking in rebellion against him. Another purpose for the rod, it was a tool that would count and care for the sheep. Keller, the former shepherd, writes in his book, another interesting use of the rod in the shepherd's hand was to examine and count the sheep. In the terminology of the Old Testament, this was referred to as passing under the rod, Ezekiel 20, verse 37. This meant not only coming under the owner's control and authority, but also being subject to his most careful, intimate, and first-hand examination. A sheep that passed under the rod was one which had been counted and looked over with great care and to make sure that all was well with it. Because of their long wool, it is not always easy to detect disease and wounds or defects in sheep. For example, a sheep might show an inferior animal can be clipped and shaped down so as to appear to be in perfect condition, a perfect specimen. But the skilled judge will take his rod and part the sheep's wool to determine the condition of the skin, the cleanliness of the fleece, and the conformation of the body. In plain language, one does not pull the wool over his eyes. But what he's saying here is that he would use it to separate the wool and see the condition of the sheep. And you know, this rod in the hand of the shepherd brought encouragement to the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they give me comfort. Because God will use his rod. He will use it to defend me, to shape me, to look after me. Aren't you glad God has a rod? And God uses his rod? But he also has another stick. And this stick is different than the rod. This is the staff. You see, his rod and his staff comfort us. Do you know what a staff is? A staff would be a longer stick, like a cane. It would be shaped on the end according to the desires of the shepherd. Some like it with a wider hook. Some like it more narrow. But there are, according to Keller, three areas of sheep management in which the staff plays a most significant role. The first of these lies in drawing sheep together into an intimate relationship. The shepherd will use his staff to gently lift a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become separated. The staff would be used to gather the sheep together so that they are one fold, not wandering hither and yonder, but they have unity and they're close together where they can be protected. You know, sheep tend to wander. Sometimes we get separated from the flock and separated from each other, but the shepherd will use his staff to bring the sheep into close fellowship again, where they can have unity and be together as one flock. But a staff is also used for guiding the sheep. Again and again, Keller writes, I've seen a shepherd use his staff to guide some sheep gently into a new path or through some new gates or along some dangerous, difficult route. He does not use the staff to beat the beast. Rather, the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in the way that the owner wants it to go. The sheep is reassured of its proper path. You see, so the staff would be used to direct the sheep, to place it against the side of the sheep to move him, to get him to move away from danger, and to direct him in the path that he ought to go. He writes, sometimes I've been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff against the side of some sheep that is a special pet or favorite simply because they are in touch. They will walk along this way almost as though they were hand in hand. The sheep obviously enjoys this special attention from the shepherd and revels in the close, personal, intimate contact between them. And our shepherd, he does love all of his sheep. And have you ever sensed the fact that his hand is upon your life and that God leads his dear children along? You see, the staff is a wonderful tool in the hand of a good shepherd to keep the sheep from wandering astray, to guide them in the way they should go. Sometimes the shepherd will use that staff with its hook shape to pull a little ewe lamb or to lift him out of a valley that he has slipped down into. And so it had many purposes, but guidance was the most basic purpose. You remember that poem, Footprints in the Sand? One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about him. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand. Why then, when I needed you most, would you leave me? The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And God carries his dear children. He leads his dear children along. And you know, my friend, we can have security in the Lord. We can be safe. We can feel safe if we would practice the presence of God, if we would realize that he is with me to protect me from harm. And he protects his sheep from all forms of harm, whether it's emotional harm, mental harm, whether it is spiritual harm. The Lord is there to protect us. I believe that God, our shepherd, will use his rod to beat off the cults that would seek to pull his people away from himself. I don't believe that somebody could be a follower of the good shepherd and for the good shepherd to let that sheep wander into a cult or wander into some false religion that teaches damnable heresies. I believe that God protects his sheep. Now, we've heard of some who were Baptists who are no longer Baptists. And by the way, I'm not saying Baptists are the only ones who've got it right. There are others who don't have that label that do have Bible convictions and biblical salvation. But I have heard of some who were once Baptists that are now in a cult. How can that be? It's because they were never sheep to begin with. It's not that they were sheep and then they lost their shepherd or the shepherd abandoned them. No, he's with his sheep forever. It's that they were never sheep to begin with. And so a dog returns to its vomit, the pig to its wallowing in the mire, because the nature of the beast was never changed. They never became a sheep. Because once you belong to the Lord, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And he will, when I think of the ultimate example of the valley of the shadow of death, I think of what is coming in all of our lives, unless Jesus should come back first, and that is all of us are going to one day die. All of us are one day going to leave this earth. I mean, it's a reality, my friends. And don't think just because you're young that, I got plenty of years ahead. You have no guarantee of tomorrow or the end of today. We should be learning that by now. We've seen enough of people, young and old, pass into eternity. But I know this, that at that darkest hour, when we pass through the ultimate valley of the shadow of death, Jesus will be faithful to his sheep to bring them safely into heaven's fold. That he will not allow one of his sheep to slip into hell. That he will not allow one of his people to perish. None of his sheep perish. If one should go astray, he will go find that one. Leaving the 99, but find that one and bring it back into the fold. But he will not allow one of his sheep to perish. So why is it that sometimes God's sheep lack security, wondering about their salvation and questioning whether or not they are saved? And I think Satan will plague the minds of of many of God's sheep. You're not a child of God. You're not one of his sheep. And in some cases, it may be true. My friend, if you're not sure that you're one of his sheep, settle that with Jesus today. But if you know that your confidence is in Jesus Christ and not yourself, and you've trusted him and you have him as your Savior, then don't worry. He gives eternal security to all of his sheep. He will not allow you to die and go to hell. He will not place you under his wrath when he punishes the ungodly. But sometimes we question his watch care, and I think it's because people often fail us that we transfer that thought over to God, thinking that if this person failed me, then maybe God is not trustworthy. But my friend, God is trustworthy, despite people's untrustworthiness or failure. Sometimes it's because of deep, extreme introspection that the sheep feel, they feel unloved, or they trust their feelings rather than trusting the facts of God's word. They feel unworthy. And let's face it, we are unworthy. There's not a single person in this room that's worthy to be a sheep. God by his grace made you his sheep, and God by his grace keeps you as his sheep. Perhaps it's because of unconfessed sin, where a person breaks that fellowship with the shepherd. It's not that the relationship has ended. You're still his sheep, he's still your shepherd. But maybe it's because you've drifted away from God into sin, and as a result, you're not close to the shepherd, so you feel like you're unsaved or you feel lost. Maybe you've grieved the Holy Spirit. He is sorrowful because of sin you've allowed in your life. But God will not forsake his sheep. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We've experienced redemption and forgiveness. We've obtained an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We've been quickened with Christ. We've been raised up and seated together with Christ. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been set free from God's wrath, for he has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. We've been delivered from death and destruction. You've become a child of God, regenerated, a new creature, a heavenly citizen, an heir to God's grace. You are complete in Christ. And God, our shepherd, is trustworthy. He abideth faithful. His word is truth. That's why Paul could say, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He is a shepherd who loves his sheep. His love is unconditional, for he died for us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We don't deserve his love. We don't merit his grace, but it's unending. And God has the power and ability to keep all of his sheep secure. A believer is saved by the power of God. He's sustained by that same power. For God is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by Christ. He is able to keep a believer from falling and to present him faultless before his presence. The Lord Jesus gives, in John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Right? John 10. He says, regarding the sheep, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." But then we come to verse 27, which you're familiar with. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." If you're one of his sheep, are you ever going to perish? If you perish,
God would be unfaithful to his word. And that's one thing God cannot do. God cannot lie. God cannot be untrue to his promises. If you're one of his sheep, you're going to hear his voice as he speaks through the Bible. You're going to follow him. You won't follow him perfectly, for none of us is without sin. But you will follow him. And he has given to you eternal life. And you will by no means perish. And nobody's going to snatch you away from the good shepherd's hand. What a blessing to have such security. Of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee, our earnest, the down payment, the deposit, the pledge of our inheritance. What a wonderful blessing to have security in the Lord. Amen. People need security. I think wives need security. And that's why a husband ought to be a faithful husband who brings a sense of security to his wife. Children need security. They need the security of knowing that mom and dad are committed to each other and to the Lord. They need the security of knowing mom and dad love me. All of us need security. But our security is in the Lord. And so he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Not only is with me, he's got his rod in hand, ready to protect me. Not only that, he's got his staff in hand, ready to lead me and guide me. And he meets all of our needs for protection. So don't fear. As Ron Hamilton wrote in the hymn, how can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? What a blessing to have security in the Lord. Would you join me in a moment of praise and prayer? Thank you so much, Father, for the promises of your word, which are yea and amen, true and trustworthy. Thank you, Lord, so much for the fact that despite the sheep wandering astray, thank you that you get out your staff and lead them back to the fold. Thank you, Lord, so much for protecting us from the wolves, from Satan and his demons, from the deceivers and deception that abound. Thank you, Lord, for leading your dear children along, yea, for carrying them through those most difficult times, as a good shepherd would carry his sheep. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful protection, the defense, the safety, the security that we find in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to rest in you. Help us to see that though we do go through those dark valleys that seem that death is imminent, thank you that we can, at that moment, know you're there. And will always be there. Thank you that you who have begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you for eternal security. Lord, we're so grateful that you're our good shepherd. May we this week practice your presence and realize that thou art with me. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.